To transform his Weltanschauung into reality, Adler founded in 1880 a tuition-free school for the sons and daughters of laborers called the Working Man's School. In addition to the usual subjects of arithmetic, reading, and history, Adler insisted that his students should be exposed to art, drama, dance, and some kind of training in a technical skill likely to be of use in a society undergoing rapid industrialization. Every child, he believed, had some particular talent. Those who had no talent for mathematics might possess extraordinary artistic gifts to make things with their hands. For Adler, this insight was the ethical seed, and the thing to do is to cultivate these various talents. The goal was a better world, and thus the school's mission was to train reformers. As the school evolved, it became a showcase of the progressive educational reform movement, and Adler himself fell under the influence of the educator and philosopher John Dewey and his school of American pragmatists. While not a socialist, Adler was spiritually moved by Marx's description in Das Kapital of the plight of the industrial working class. "I must square myself," he wrote, "with the issues that socialism raises." The laboring classes, he came to believe, deserved just remuneration, constant employment, and social dignity. "The labor movement," he later wrote, "is an ethical movement, and I am with it heart and soul." Labor leaders reciprocated these sentiments. Samuel Gompers, head of the New American Federation of Labor, was a member of the New York Society for Ethical Culture. Ironically, by 1890, the school had so many students that Adler felt compelled to subsidize the Ethical Culture Society's budget by admitting some tuition-paying students. At a time when many elite private schools were closing their doors to Jews, scores of prosperous Jewish businessmen were clamoring to have their children admitted to the Working Man's School. By 1895, Adler had added a high school and renamed the school the Ethical Culture School. Decades later, it was renamed the Fieldston School. By the time Robert Oppenheimer enrolled in 1911, only about 10% of the student body came from a working-class background. But the school nevertheless retained its liberal, socially responsible outlook. These sons and daughters of the relatively prosperous patrons of the Ethical Culture Society were infused with the notion that they were being groomed to reform the world, that they were the vanguard of a highly modern ethical gospel. Robert was a star student. Needless to say, Robert's adult political sensibilities can easily be traced to the progressive education he received at Felix Adler's remarkable school. Throughout the formative years of his childhood and education, he was surrounded by men and women who thought of themselves as catalysts for a better world. In the years between the turn of the century and the end of World War I, Ethical Culture members served as agents of change on such politically charged issues as race relations, labor rights, civil liberties, and environmentalism. In 1909, for instance, such prominent Ethical Culture members as Dr. Henry Moskowitz, John Lovejoy Elliott, Anna Garland Spencer, and William Salter helped to found the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, NAACP. Dr. Moskowitz similarly played an important role in the garment workers' strikes that occurred between 1910 and 1915. Other ethical culturists helped to found the National Civil Liberties Bureau, a forerunner of the American Civil Liberties Union. Though they shunned notions of class struggle, members of the society were pragmatic radicals committed to playing an active role in bringing about social change. They believed that a better world required hard work, persistence, and political organization. In 1921, the year Robert graduated from the Ethical Culture High School, Adler exhorted his students to develop their ethical imagination, to see things not as they are, but as they might be. Robert was fully aware of Adler's influence not only on himself but on his father, and he was not above teasing Julius about it. At 17, he wrote a poem on the occasion of his father's 50th birthday that included the line, "And after he came to America, he swallowed Dr. Adler like morality compressed." Like many Americans of German background, Dr. Adler was deeply saddened and conflicted when America was drawn into World War I. Unlike another prominent member of the Ethical Culture Society, Oswald Garrison Villard, editor of The Nation magazine, Adler was not a pacifist. When a German submarine sank the British passenger ship Lusitania, he supported the arming of American merchant ships. While he opposed American entry into the conflict, when the Wilson administration declared war in April 1917, Adler urged his congregation to give its undivided allegiance to America. At the same time, he declared that he could not label Germany the only guilty party.
As a critic of the German monarchy at the war's end, he welcomed the downfall of imperial rule and the collapse of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. But as a fierce anti-colonialist, he openly deplored the hypocrisy of a victor's peace that appeared only to strengthen the British and French empires. Naturally, his critics accused him of pro-German sentiments. As a trustee of the society and as a man who deeply admired Dr. Adler, Julius Oppenheimer likewise felt conflicted about the European war and his identity as a German-American. But there is no evidence of how young Robert felt about the conflict. His teacher at school in ethical studies, however, was John Lovejoy Elliott, who remained a fierce critic of American entry into the war. Born in 1868 to an Illinois family of abolitionists and free thinkers, Elliott became a beloved figure in the progressive humanist movement of New York City. A tall, affectionate man, Elliott was the pragmatist who put into practice Adler's ethical culture principles. He built one of the country's most successful settlement houses, the Hudson Guild, in New York's poverty-stricken Chelsea district. A lifelong trustee of the ACLU, Elliott was politically and personally fearless. When two Austrian leaders of the Ethical Culture Society in Vienna were arrested by Hitler's Gestapo in 1938, Elliott, at the age of 70, went to Berlin and spent several months negotiating with the Gestapo for their release. After paying a bribe, Elliott succeeded in spiriting the two men out of Nazi Germany. When he died in 1942, the ACLU's Roger Baldwin eulogized him as a witty saint, a man who so loved people that no task to aid them was too small. It was to this witty saint that the Oppenheimer brothers were exposed throughout the years of their weekly dialogues in ethics class. Years later, when they were young men, Elliott wrote their father, "I did not know how close I could get to your boys. Along with you, I am glad and grateful for them." Elliott taught ethics in a Socratic-style seminar where students discuss specific social and political issues. Education in life problems was a required course for all of the high school students. Often he would pose a personal moral dilemma for his students, such as asking them if they had a choice between a job teaching or a job that paid more working in Wrigley's chewing gum factory, which would they choose? During Robert's years at the school, some of the topics vigorously debated included the, quote-unquote, Negro problem, the ethics of war and peace, economic inequality and understanding, quote-unquote, sex relations. In his senior year, Robert was exposed to an extended discussion on the role of the state. The curriculum included a short catechism of political ethics, including the ethics of loyalty and treason. It was an extraordinary education in social relations and world affairs, an education that planted deep roots in Robert's psyche and one that would produce a bountiful harvest in the decades to come.